Hi, and welcome to the May-June 2024 issue of SuperSTEM. And on the front cover, they've got illustrations of a lion, a scorpion, a spider, venomous snake, shark, alligator, hippopotamus, and an elephant. These animals have dangerous reputations, but one causes more human deaths than all the rest combined. Which is it? And we'll get to that article, but first we'll turn to mini-STEM reads. Rolling in style. Alva Keene has always loved decorating her sister Izzy's wheelchair. Izzy has spina bifida, a condition that has reduced her feeling and movement from her waist down. After Alva decorated my wheelchair, I felt joyful and empowered, says Izzy. That's why in 2016, the sisters created a company, Izzy Wheels, to provide people with wheel covers to style their chairs. Now they sell their covers to wheelchair users around the world. The sisters want their covers to start conversations about living with disabilities. Sometimes people misunderstand others who look different from them. Conversations can promote understanding. And by choosing their own designs, people can share a piece of their personality with the world, says Alva. Also on this page, do octopuses dream? When people and animals get tired, we sleep. Sleep helps turn things we've learned into long-term memories. As we sleep, our brains play out experiences in the form of dreams. Scientists can learn more about people's dreams by asking them questions. But how do they study other animals' dreams? Researchers in Japan wanted to learn more about how octopuses sleep and potentially dream. When octopuses are awake, they can change the pattern and color of their skin to help them hunt and hide. The researchers observed 29 octopuses at rest. They noticed the octopuses changing color patterns during sleep were similar to the changing patterns the creatures had while awake. This could be a sign that the octopuses were dreaming. Scientists think octopuses might be practicing using their camouflage, or maybe they're learning from things that happened while awake, just like humans do when we dream. Also in mini-STEM reads, breaking goes big. Logan Edra spins upside down, holding up her entire body with one hand. Her legs pump with the beat of hip-hop music. A world champion breakdancer or breaker, Edra is thrilled her sport will soon have a bigger spotlight, the 2024 Olympics. This July in Paris, France, breakers will compete in breakdancing, the newest sport at the Olympic Games. But how do the breakers keep their bodies twirling, twisting, and flipping without missing a beat? Breaking is a style of dancing that started in the 1970s in New York City. The high-energy style features complex footwork, gymnastic-style tumbling, and moves like spinning headstands. Breakers use forces like gravity and friction to their advantage. When breakers fall, they just keep practicing. Getting a move after millions of tries makes me feel powerful and gives me confidence, says Edra. She's excited to see the breaking community represented at the Olympics. It's a win for everybody. And there is a photo of Logan Edra doing a backflip, spreading her weight on two hands evenly to stay balanced. There's also another photo of a breakdancer named Lilu Demir. He's doing a headspin. And another photo of breakdancer Kim Kyung Min doing some fancy footwork. There's also a graph on this page, we're on page 5, showing the Summer Olympics with the most sports. So ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to review that graph with you. Now on to the title story. Meet the world's deadliest creature. And before we begin the article, words to know. Infect, to spread a disease or a disease-causing substance or organism to others. Parasite, an organism that lives on or inside other organisms, often harming them. Adapt, to become better able to survive because of changes in a species' body or behavior. over many generations. And vaccine, a substance usually injected into a person or animal that helps protect against a disease. Now on to the article. Our planet is filled with fearsome creatures. Car-sized hippos have jaws strong enough to shatter bones. Scorpions use piercing tails to inject victims with deadly venom. Pythons strangle their prey with rope-like bodies. But which animal on Earth is the deadliest to humans? It's actually none of those creatures. It's the mosquito. You might think of these buzzing insects as just an annoying part of spring and summer. In the U.S., their bites are usually no worse than an itchy red bump that fades in a few days or weeks. However, in many areas of the world, mosquito bites are a serious concern. They commonly spread dangerous diseases like malaria. Mild malaria cases cause headaches, fevers, and chills. Without treatment, the disease can be deadly. Each year, malaria and other diseases spread by mosquitoes kill more than 750,000 people. Sadly, most of those who die are kids. Scientists have come up with many ways to protect humans from mosquitoes, but lately the methods haven't been working very well. Disease-causing mosquitoes are now thriving in parts of the world they haven't been found before. In the U.S., mosquitoes are showing up earlier each year and staying longer, says Russ-Ann Lowe. She's a scientist who studies mosquitoes. Lowe is one of many people working to spread the news about the dangers of mosquitoes and share ideas for how people can help. There are more than 110 trillion mosquitoes on Earth. That's almost 16,000 for every person. They live on every continent except Antarctica. Mosquitoes are famous bloodsuckers, so you might be surprised that the insect's main food source is nectar, a sweet liquid from plants. There are more than 3,500 mosquito species. Different species feed on blood from different animals. Only a small portion of species feed on human blood. Male mosquitoes don't bite at all. That's the job of female mosquitoes, just before they lay eggs. When temperatures rise above 50 degrees Fahrenheit, 10 degrees Celsius, female mosquitoes lay eggs in watery areas like ponds, puddles, or rain-filled flower pots. But before they do, the insects need a blood meal. They search for an animal, like a human, and use their tube-shaped mouth like a straw to suck up blood. This is where the problem begins. When a mosquito bites, it injects saliva into its victim. If the mosquito has recently bitten a person infected with a disease like malaria, that spit can contain a tiny germ that causes the disease. When this germ enters a person's blood, they become infected too. That's how, bite by itchy bite, millions of people come down with malaria each year. Millions more are infected with other deadly diseases, such as dengue and West Nile virus. Humans' battle with mosquitoes isn't new. As long as we have walked on Earth, mosquitoes have been biting us and infecting us with diseases. For most of that time, people thought the illnesses were caused by warm, moist air. That made sense because the diseases were most common near swamps, where mosquitoes like to breed. In the late 1800s, scientists discovered the tiny parasite that causes malaria and learned it was spread by mosquitoes. Researchers went on to develop drugs to help treat the disease. They also created insecticides, chemicals that can kill mosquitoes. Thanks to these innovations, malaria was mostly gone from the U.S. by the 1950s. But the fight against malaria has continued in much of Africa and other places with tropical climates where mosquitoes lay eggs year-round. In these areas, people spray their homes with insecticides. They sleep under mosquito nets to prevent the insects from biting them at night. Over time, the efforts helped. Malaria remained a major killer in Africa, but by 2019, deaths from the disease dropped to the lowest number in history. Unfortunately, in recent years, malaria deaths have gone up again. Why? Scientists are finding some mosquito-fighting strategies are no longer working very well. The reason? Mosquitoes have adapted. Here's how that happened. Over time, the chemicals in insecticides have killed many mosquitoes, but not all of them. Some survived, passing down their insecticide-beating traits to their young. Over time, more and more mosquitoes carried traits that protected them from insecticides. As a result, these chemicals are no longer as effective against mosquitoes. In Africa, mosquito nets have long protected people from the insects at night. But scientists suspect that some mosquitoes there have adapted to bite in the daytime. It's a constant cycle, says Lowe. We have a solution, then they adapt to it. There's another problem. Dangerous mosquitoes are moving around the world. Since 2012, a type of mosquito from South Asia has been spreading malaria in African cities. And for the first time in many years, mosquitoes have infected people in parts of Europe with dengue. In the U.S., several dangerous mosquito species are thriving. They are originally from other areas of the world and are more aggressive than native species. The insects feed more often and bite quickly, making them hard to shoo away in time. These mosquitoes can spread diseases like malaria. Scientists expect these problems to get worse because of climate change. As temperatures warm, mosquitoes can survive year-round in places that were once too cold for them. That means more parasites and germs that cause diseases. Luckily, scientists are hard at work developing solutions. Eric Ochimo is an entomologist or insect scientist in the East African country of Kenya. Malaria is a constant threat there. He's testing out new and improved tools to fight mosquitoes. One tool is an indoor device that sends out a chemical into the air. The chemical confuses mosquitoes so they don't bite. Ochimo is also testing an outdoor device that lures the insects with sweet liquid, then kills them with poison. Using several strategies is important, Ochimo says. That makes it less likely that mosquitoes will adapt. Other researchers are breeding male mosquitoes that can't reproduce. In the wild, these mosquitoes could help lower the mosquito population since they can't reproduce. And in late 2023, a new malaria vaccine was introduced in parts of Africa. Scientists expect the shot to reduce malaria deaths, especially in kids. There are ways people like you can help. Ochimo hopes more kids become scientists when they grow up, so they can help protect humans from mosquitoes. There are a lot of problems we still don't know how to solve, he says. We need all the brains we can get. On the following page, there is an infographic on killer creatures, highlighting the estimated human deaths caused by select animals per year. Ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to review the infographic with you. We now turn to pages 12 and 13 for a trip to Europa. Would you spend years journeying 444 million miles, that's 630 million kilometers, to reach Europa, a frozen moon orbiting Jupiter? Today, humans don't have the technology for such a trip, but imagine if we did. What could you see and do there? You're about to find out. And before we begin the article, words to know, orbit, to move in a curved path around another object in space. Atmosphere, the protective layer of gases surrounding a planet. Gravity, an invisible force that pulls objects toward each other. Gravity keeps the planets in orbit around the sun. Radiation, invisible high-energy waves. Now back to that trip to Europa. Why it's exciting. Standing on Europa's icy surface, the first thing you might notice is the sky. Enormous Jupiter, our solar system's most massive planet, looms above you. A sky full of stars provides a dramatic backdrop even during daytime. That's because Europa has very little atmosphere, On Earth, this layer of gases scatters the sun's light during the day, blocking light from the stars. Europa also has less gravity than Earth. You could take a break from stargazing to go low-gravity ice climbing across the jagged surface. Some shards of ice rise almost as tall as the Empire State Building. Why it's dangerous? Europa wouldn't be easy to travel across. Its slippery surface has deep cracks. If you were to fall into one, you'd have trouble getting out. Plus, Europa is extremely cold. It's minus 250 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 157 degrees Celsius, in the warmest, sunniest parts of the moon. That's much colder than Antarctica. But the biggest danger on Europa is deadly radiation. Jupiter constantly releases invisible high-energy waves. You'd have to wear stiff layers of protection that you could never take off. Without this protection on Europa's surface, you would die within 11 minutes from burning inside and out. Yikes. Why it's worth it. Many scientists dream of traveling to Europa. Why? Because Europa might hold everything needed for life to exist. Scientists suspect hydrothermal vents or cracks that spew superheated water might be at the bottom of a salty ocean. The heat and minerals released through those vents may support living things, such as bacteria. In October, NASA plans to send a new spacecraft called Europa Clipper to study this moon more closely. If all goes according to plan, the craft will reach its destination in 2030. Then it will hunt for evidence of Europa's ocean and whether alien life is thriving in it. What to pack? A trip to Europa could take 5 years or more. You'd need food that wouldn't spoil, such as dried foods like beef jerky. You'd also need oxygen to breathe. Astronauts pack these items today for any trip to space. But how could you protect yourself from the deadly radiation on Europa? Maybe by heading under the ice. Europa's icy shell may be 15 miles, 25 kilometers thick. NASA scientists believe that if astronauts tunneled down to the liquid ocean, the ice above would block the radiation. To do this, you'd need a good submarine and a cryobot. It's a metal tube-shaped robot that heats up to melt through ice. Scientists are working on this and other technology that might make human travel to Europa possible in the future. Now on page 16, meet the superhero frogs. These frogs have adaptations that seem straight out of a comic book, and they're highlighting the gliding frog, the Wolverine frog, the poison frog, and the glass frog. First up, the glass frog. Its superhero power, invisibility. What if you could see your heart, lungs, and stomach straight through your skin? You could if you were a glass frog. It has skin on its belly that's almost as see-through as glass. This skin keeps it hidden from predators such as lizards and birds in the rainforests in Central and South America. During the day, glass frogs sleep on the undersides of leaves. The frogs have green backs to help them blend in. Sunlight can pass through both the leaves and the frog's skin. When predators look at the leaves from above, they see a blurry outline and not a dark shape. To them, the object doesn't look like a tasty frog, so they don't attack. Danger avoided. Next up, the poison frog's superhero, toxic skin. This frog's bright color communicates a message. Don't eat me, I'm toxic. Poison frogs that live in Central America and on the African island of Madagascar have to watch out for predators like birds and snakes. When a snake bites into one of these frogs, poisonous substances called toxins enter the snake's bloodstream. They cause the snake to uncontrollably shake so that it drops the frog like a hot potato. Some frogs produce enough poison to kill a snake. Poison frogs get their poison from eating ants and mites, which get their poison from consuming toxic plants. The Wolverine frog. its superhero power? Hidden claws. The Wolverine frog has a weapon inside its toes. Sharp, claw-like bones. When the frog is threatened by a predator, the claws rip through the skin, stabbing the attacker so that it drops the frog. Over time, the claws pull back into the frog's toes and the skin heals. 10 other African frogs have this ability too. The Wolverine frog has another name, the hairy frog, and it's easy to see why. It's covered in hair-like strips of skin. The frog lives in rivers in Central Africa that have little oxygen. The extra skin strips help the frog take in enough oxygen from the water to survive. The gliding frog, superhero power, built-in parachute. It's a bird, it's a plane. Actually, it's a gliding frog. These frogs live high up in the tropical rainforests of Southeast Asia. If they encounter a predator like a snake in the treetops, the frogs have a special strategy to escape. Crawling down the tree would take too long, so instead they jump and glide through the air. Gliding frogs have webbing or thin skin between their fingers and toes, sometimes on the sides of their bodies too. When the frogs leap, they spread their arms, legs, and webbed feet wide. The webbing acts like a parachute, slowing the frog's fall. The frogs can travel up to 50 feet, 15 meters, before landing on the ground. We're now on page 20 for You Decide. Would you rather ride the world's tallest roller coaster or the world's tallest water slide? As the tallest of their kind, both roller coaster Kingda Ka in New Jersey and water slide Kilimanjaro in Brazil offer thrills like no other ride. If you could choose only one, which would you try out this summer? So on page 22, there is a photo of Kingda Ka, Six Flags Great Adventure, New Jersey. This coaster towers 456 feet, 139 meters high at its top. That's taller than Egypt's Great Pyramid of Giza. Kingda Ka reaches its maximum speed as it shoots riders up its first hill, going from 0 to 128 miles an hour, that's 206 kilometers an hour, in 3.5 seconds. Kingda Ka is a hydraulic launch coaster, and that means that a fluid under extreme pressure powers its engine. This turns a gear with a cable attached. The cable pulls cars up the tracks. Each train has wheels both above and below the tracks to keep its cars locked on tight. And here's how it feels. Strap in. You slowly leave the station, then pause. For several seconds, you gaze up at the steep slope of the track. Suddenly, you're off. You gain speed so quickly your lips are pushed back from your teeth as you scream. You shoot into the sky at a 90-degree angle, then arch over the top of the hill. Now comes the drop. Gravity yanks you down. You gain so much speed, it pushes you over a second hill. Your body leaves your seat. After less than a minute of twists and turns, it's over. You did it. And now the water slide, Kilimanjaro. That's in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Kilimanjaro rises 164 feet, that's 50 meters above its pool. Riders must climb a dizzying 234 steps to reach the top. Nearly one-third of potential riders opt out and head back. Riders speed down Kilimanjaro at 57 miles an hour, that's 92 kilometers an hour, nearly as fast as a car on the highway. The trip from the top to the bottom takes just 7 seconds. Water slides, like Kilimanjaro, use flowing water to reduce the rubbing force of friction between a rider's body and the tube of the slide. Like most slides, Kilimanjaro pumps water from the pool at its bottom up to a pipe at its top. A filter cleans the recycled water. So how it feels? Get ready. Cool water rushes beneath you as you sit at the top of the slide, clutching the metal bar above. A dark tunnel stretches before you. You're about to enter total darkness. You gather your courage, then use the bar to push yourself forward. You scream as gravity pulls your body down through the dark and into the light. The angle is so steep it feels like you're falling with nothing to catch you. Your heels slam through the water, making it gush up in a wave that sprays into your face. Splash! You drop into a deep blue pool. You made it. The next article on page 24 is how to save a beach. Can people stop shorelines from being washed out to sea? Before we begin the article, words to know: climate change. Long-term changes in Earth's weather patterns, often referring to the rise in temperatures caused by human activity. Erosion, the process of rock, sand, or soil being moved away by natural forces, such as wind, water, or ice. Native, occurring naturally in a particular area. Now on to the article. Garrett Renton grew up near the seashore in Howell, New Jersey. He spent many summer days swimming in the ocean and relaxing on the sand. To Garrett, the beach had always been there, and it always would be. Now, Garrett sees this isn't the case. The beach he loves is changing like many others around the world. Climate change is causing sea levels to rise. The higher waters sweep away sand from beaches. The beach used to be so much bigger, he says. Now the water has crept up so much, there's hardly any space. For the past 3 years, Garrett has been trying to do something about this problem. He's one of many people working to protect the beaches they love against the rising waters. Garrett is now 17 and a senior in high school. He's also a volunteer with the American Littoral Society, ALS. Littoral means having to do with the seashore. The organization works to repair beaches along the Atlantic coast. Waves constantly crash onshore and rush back out to sea. The waves pick up tiny bits of sand and carry them away. This process is called erosion. Some erosion on beaches is natural, explains Alex Medeski. He works at the ALS on restoring coastal habitats. Natural features like oyster reefs and sand dunes can help combat erosion. They slow down the waves, making them less powerful. Slower, weaker waves sweep away less sand. People have long tried to hold back the sea and protect the land, but their attempts have had unintended effects. For centuries, people have built hard structures such as seawalls in the water along the shoreline. Seawalls are designed to protect land behind them from flooding during major storms such as hurricanes. But when big waves hit the wall, they bounce off instead of slowing down. As they rush back out to sea, they drag extra sand with them, destroying the beach over time. Between rising sea levels and erosion due to human development, beaches are in big trouble. And a shrinking shoreline isn't just bad news for beachgoers. Many different animals, including birds, crabs, sea turtles, need the sand to survive. Fortunately, experts like Medeski have a plan. Medeski tries to recreate the natural features that reduce erosion. Human-made structures can create more damage, he says, but nature knows how to handle these things. In 2022, ALS and volunteers like Garrett began work on a beach in the coastal town of Neptune, New Jersey. Years of storms and rising sea levels had worn down the shore to a narrow strip. Workers first delivered 150 truckloads of sand to replace what had washed away. Next, the team placed nets filled with rocks and shells in the water along the shore. The nets worked like an oyster reef to slow down waves. Workers also piled sand into new dunes. They planted native grasses on them. Their roots hold the sand in place. This past summer, Garrett visited the beach again. He noticed the beach had survived the previous year's storms with less erosion. "I felt accomplished," says Garrett. "Clearly it's working, and you can already see the result." Well, the next article, cool STEM jobs. I create ice cream. Food scientist Maya Warren has a super cool specialty, ice cream. Before we begin the article, Words to Know, Chemistry, the study of substances that make up all things and how they interact. Chemical reaction, a process in which one or more substances change into a new substance. Mixture, a combination of two or more substances with each keeping their own physical properties. Matter, something that takes up space and has mass. Now on to the article. Dr. Maya Warren thinks her STEM job is one of the sweetest ones around. It's easy to see why. She makes ice cream. Warren owns a business called IC3CRM. She helps companies around the world develop new flavors of ice cream, from peanut butter and jelly to ketchup. She uses chemistry, technology, and math in her work. So much science goes into making ice cream, she says, and people are so curious about it. That's why Warren also appears on TV shows to give others a peek into the fascinating world of food science. There are hardly any food scientists on television. It's almost like we don't exist in the food world. And yet we feed more people than chefs do, says Warren. Food scientists develop packaged foods and frozen foods that appear on grocery store shelves. I want to shed light on who food scientists are, what we do, and what scientists look like, Warren says. Warren spoke with SuperSTEM about the sweet life of an ice cream scientist. The question, how did you become interested in food science? It started when I was 6 years old. I got a kid's oven that used a light bulb to bake simple recipes. I remember pouring brownie mix into the toy's tiny pan. Then I put it into the oven and watched it transform. I was so into it. That was my first experience with a chemical reaction. In high school, I got even more interested in chemistry. My teacher was so encouraging, that's why I studied chemistry in college. One day I saw a TV show that featured a flavor chemistry lab. I remember thinking, wow, how do I become a flavor scientist? I decided to pursue food science. My goal was to become an expert in ice cream, and that's what I am. I love what I do. What's a surprising fact about ice cream? Ice cream's main ingredient isn't cream, it's air. You don't really see it, you don't taste it, but you do feel it. Air makes ice cream soft and scoopable. Without air, ice cream would be a hard block of milky ice, like an ice pop. Next question, how do you get air into ice cream? Ice cream starts out as a liquid mixture. It contains milk, cream, sugar, and flavorings. We freeze this mixture in an ice cream machine. It whips air into the liquid while freezing it. The whipping creates air bubbles in the ice cream mixture. Tiny fat particles, milk proteins, and ice crystals coat the air bubbles. This coating traps the bubbles in ice cream. All that trapped air gives ice cream its soft texture. What's a typical day like for you? I spend a lot of time developing new flavor concepts. Once I get an idea, I decide which ingredients to use and how much of each I'll need to turn an idea into a new flavor. It can take up to a year to perfect a new flavor. I do most of this work in a place called a research and development lab. The lab has a lot of equipment that helps me make and test different ice cream mixes. One machine measures the amount of moisture or liquid content in the mix. Another tests how thick it is. If a mix is too thick, it can't be pumped into packages. Everything about the ice cream must be measured and tested. So what do you enjoy most about your work? Everything. It's ice cream, chemistry, creativity, and communication. Ice cream is an amazing tool for connecting with people. You instantly have people's attention. Sharing food science with others is my mission. And on the back page of this issue, there is an infographic going into more detail about America's love of this frosty ice cream treat. So ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to review the infographic with you. And that does complete the May-June 2024 edition of SuperSTEM. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.